Good morning. I'm Elisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday edition. Happy everything to everyone. I know some people say happy Hanukkah, some people say happy Kwanzaa, some people say happy or Merry Christmas. There are about 14 different holidays through the season, so I would like to cover everything. Whatever you are celebrating, I hope it's been beautiful, safe, and joy-filled, and also filled with health and peace for all. We are coming through one of the most interesting retail seasons that I think I have ever noticed or participated in my memory, and I'm old, so that memory goes way, 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 way back. Real estate has been up, down, and all around. The retail climate, commercial real estate, different work environments. So many things have changed, and some of these changes will remain with us for a short term. Some will remain with us maybe long term or forever. But Lauren Leach with Conway McKenzie is here with me today, and she's going to shine a light on all of these things, aren't you, Lauren? Good morning.
Good morning, Elisa. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad. What do you do at Conway McKenzie?
I do lease restructuring, lease negotiation. I do a lot of receivership work for banks and special servicers. And so that's a national practice where we step in as landlord, as the court-appointed receiver, and work on distressed assets where there's been a default on a mortgage. And that's really relevant now, and we're busy now because what we'll talk about, I'm sure, is all of the retailers who have been struggling this holiday season, and that then has a trickle-down effect to the landlords.
Exactly. Well, let's jump in at the retail level. We've seen so many retailers, and not just the independently owned small businesses, but the large stores as well. So many businesses struggling, some closing short-term, and those may be looking like longer-term closures. What's the process been? Let's go back maybe 6 months once we were in the midst of the outbreak, and we saw changes come and go and openings and closures. We have lots of time, so walk us through it. What have we been seeing? What changes have been coming to fruition so far?
Sure. Well, pre-COVID, we started to see in the last 2 years, really, a lot of retailer bankruptcies and store closures. I mean, we are over-retailed as a country.
Okay.
We had too many stores, especially if you look at the retail per square foot that we have here compared to other countries. We just have too much real estate.
Okay.
And so retailers have long been struggling, and COVID really accelerated that. When we had government-ordered shutdowns and the malls closed and restaurants closed, those retailers didn't have their source of income anymore. They didn't have sales to make. They didn't have customers coming in to buy their dinner the way that they had prior to COVID. And so then what we saw was just a wave of store closures and bankruptcies. And the retail sector is particularly vulnerable as the economy starts to recover from the recession. And the gradual reopening of the economy and that relaxation of social distancing restrictions has sort of lifted consumer attitudes since. But now we're faced with the same thing again as we see cases surge again with Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that really threatens the recovery for these retailers.
So what do we do?
Adds uncertainty
exactly.
to the retailers who are already struggling with poor sales.
Yes. So what do we do? And I think part of the problem was people did relax the social distancing when they shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But where do we find the balance? And I know that's been the struggle this entire year. And what I didn't realize is what you pointed out, that we are already over-retailed in this country. So we were already looking at a stressed system, and now it is overly stressed to a degree where that rubber band can only pull so far, can't it?
That's exactly right, Elisa. That's exactly right. So what happened was in the first couple months of COVID, let's call it April, May, and June, when none of the stores were open, all of those retailers went to the landlords and said, we can't pay our rent. We need a rent deferral or a rent abatement, and we'll work with you on a repayment once our sales increase and our stores reopen. And so many of the landlords were able to try and work with the retailers and their tenants to come up with some sort of plan that offered some flexibility where the landlord could still make their debt service payment because the landlords have a mortgage to pay too.
Right.
So that happened, and the retailers then reopened, and sales for some of them went back up and others didn't. And so now what we're starting to see is those retailers coming back for a second bite at the apple.
Right.
They're going back to the landlord and saying, I know you gave us 3 months of free rent, but I need three more months of free rent. And that is really where we're seeing a big trickle-down effect. Mm-hmm. Because as I mentioned before, you know, those retailers don't pay their rent to the landlord. Well, the landlord has a mortgage to pay to their lender.
Right.
And so if the landlord doesn't have income coming in, their rent from all the tenants, now that property goes into default.
Oh, boy.
And then that property is at risk of going into foreclosure or into receivership. So really, the issues don't stop with just the retailers.
It's a trickle up, right?
Yeah. The investors, the owners are getting hit too.
Wow. And when we take a look at this, I know on a personal level, a lot of the banks were offering customers a forbearance. And then again, mm-hmm. people were able to go back and say, may I extend my forbearance from September through March now? But then the banks are going to need to recoup that eventually as well. But if mm-hmm. if the residential owners can't make those payments, the banks can't extend what they need to extend to the landlords can't extend to their customers, mm-hmm. and then nobody can put food on their table. This is very depressing. How can we not feel depressed? This is our last session of the year here before we go around the home stretch. I don't want to close the new year on a sad note. What do we need to know? And I mean, I know a lot of the government monies have been slower than anticipated. I know of one business, for example, that is owed money from the government, about $175,000. They've been owed that money since the middle of September. And mm-hmm. to date, the check hasn't even been cut yet. So through no fault of their own, that business is struggling to make payroll. They're in that case laying off people, which then hits our unemployment numbers, which are back up again for the first time in a little while. It's so massive, Lauren. What do we need to know? Is there anything we can know that can keep us calm? Let's start with that.
Well, I will say that as a receiver, I did see many of the small businesses benefit from the PPP loans. Mm-hmm. And as a result of the PPP loans, those retailers were able to make a portion of their rent payments and show good faith to their landlords. And they were able to make a portion of their payroll to help their employees keep food on the table for their families. You know, Lisa, it is sort of depressing. I don't know how to get around that. But what I can say is there is hope on the horizon.
Okay.
I mean, if this vaccine can't come soon enough.
Right.
So really what we're striving for is this world to return to whatever this new normal is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be fallout. There will be more bankruptcies. We can talk about that. Especially in the restaurant sector.
Sure.
But I do think once we get people going back into stores, going back into restaurants, sales will improve. Retailers will be able to make their payroll. Retailers will be able to pay their landlord their rent. And then things will sort of return to whatever this new normal looks like. We just got to get that vaccine out and get consumer confidence up.
Exactly. There's an ad campaign running right now for TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods. And the commercial, before you know who it's even for, says, there's a place you can go where you can take things off the shelves and look at them. You can actually hold something up to the light and see how it twinkles, or whatever the verbiage is. And I watch this commercial and I'm thinking, where is this place? And then they tell us it's TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods. Mm-hmm. And I thought, it has been so long. I mean, relatively speaking, in the scope of life, it hasn't, but it has felt like it has been so long since I have walked into a store, picked something up, examined it, figured out if the person in my life will love this or if should I put it back and get something else. I think we're all yearning for that. So like you said, Lauren, that vaccine cannot come quickly enough.
Yeah, you have a good point, Elisa. And I think, you know, depending on what you read, there's been this whole notion for the past 12 to 18 months about this retail apocalypse, and there's going to be no more bricks and mortar and everything's going to be online. I don't believe that. I do think that there will always be a need for bricks and mortar because, as you said, there are a lot of people who do want to go in and touch and feel and have that experience. Online sales have increased dramatically.
Sure.
I read that curbside orders and buy online, pick up in store have grown by more than 500% during the pandemic.
Whoa.
I do think that that continues to be an important factor for retailers and for customers. They do want to have that convenient option. So online shopping will for sure continue to be a force to reckon with. But there are people who do want to go in and have that experience.
I would like to choose my own substitution when I'm going to the grocery. And
yes.
And I have to say, with maybe one or two exceptions, overall, the Instacart people have been fantastic and the Shipt people have been great. And they'll send me a picture of what they are substituting my item for, because I don't go into stores. I'm over 60 and I'm concerned, and I choose not to. So, but I do think, oh, someday it will be nice to just be comfortable, even if we're all masked, that's okay, walking into a store and just feeling fewer restrictions. And maybe by this time next year, it will be a very different world. But the increase in online shopping is maybe not to this degree, but overall, it's here to stay with large, large numbers, right?
Definitely. Definitely. And I think what COVID has done is accelerated a trend that was already in place before the pandemic,
that
which
makes
was
sense, yeah.
These retailers needing to have multiple channels to service the shopper. You have to have the ability to go into a store and pick out what you want and walk out with it. Mm-hmm. You have to have the ability to buy online and receive it in the mail quickly. Now everybody expects two-day shipping thanks to Amazon Prime.
Right.
You have to have BOPIS, it's called, buy online, pick up in store.
BOPIS.
You have to have curbside. Mm-hmm. So there now what we've learned is the customer has become demanding.
Okay.
And I am very guilty of it. I want, depending on the day and the time and my mood and the item I'm getting, to either buy it online and have it delivered. I may want to go into the store. I may want a curbside pickup. And so I think now the customer has become demanding, and that trend is going to continue post pandemic.
And we'll hold the retailer's feet to the fire. There's one item I purchased. Well, I purchased two of them for two of my kids. I ordered it November 19th, and it's not here yet. Mm. And it wasn't through Amazon, but the company, and I ordered it intentionally through the company. I thought I would rather go directly. I'm trying to take care of Michigan businesses, independent businesses as much as I can. I do order a ton on Amazon too. But initially, like the other day, they said, well, we have a tracking number through the Postal Service, but we haven't taken the package in yet. So they bought the postage, they made the arrangements, but haven't taken it. And initially, Lauren, I thought, I'm just going to cancel it. And then I thought, no. This isn't their fault. They're doing the best they can to adjust. It's not an emergency. So these two kids of mine will have a bonus gift whenever this comes. Maybe it'll be January and I'll call them and say, come on over. I have something for you.
Yeah, but it might be Happy New Year gift.
Exactly. But I'm like you also. I'm getting used to, I can't drive right now because of my shoulder. So I'm going to pay the extra $10 to have my groceries delivered. Things mm-hmm. like that. I want it like Veruca Salt in Willy Wonka, right? I want it mm-hmm. now. I want it
yes.
now. But that's got to be so hard for the retailers to adjust to, because just like our teachers were thrown into a remote learning situation without any training, our businesses are not used to this, are they?
No, they're not. And Elisa, I think consumer preferences will continue to evolve. And if I think about it just with myself, pre-pandemic, I'm a working mom. I travel. I'm busy, like a lot of people who are listening. We're
right?
all busy. And so I used Instacart for probably 2 years before the pandemic.
Oh.
I would go into the grocery store on occasion here or there for an item if I needed it on the way home from work for dinner. But I was an Instacart user. And then once the pandemic changed and I couldn't go into the store, now all of a sudden I want to go in the store.
Of course. Of course.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens once we do go back to normal, whatever that looks like, how preferences will change. Will someone like me, who I was used to having my groceries delivered to me, now will I appreciate the experience of picking out my own produce?
Right.
And change the way that I was shopping?
Very interesting. We're going to pause for a moment. Lauren, you're going to hang out for a little while longer though, aren't you?
Oh, I sure will.
I'm so glad, because I do want to talk about those bankruptcies. define bankruptcy to folks who may not exactly understand how that rolls, and talk about the restaurant business, where we're headed, and what we're going to see in the comeback. So I'm very grateful. Lauren Leach with Conway McKenzie is here with us this morning. And I'm so thankful that you have all chosen to spend your Sunday morning here with us as well. Once again, I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.